Okay, turn to one.
The Rodney Morris Show.
Pay attention to this now. Make sure you snap those heads around.
On your home for the Buccaneers. 620 WDAE and US 1035.
You want to come out and get a pick 180 when you get out of here.
Now here's the head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Rodney Morris, and your host, TJ Reed.
And we do come in on a Monday evening after the Baltimore Ravens defeat the Bucs 17-10. And the Buccaneers look to regroup after this one and get ready to play the Atlanta Falcons coming up on Sunday. Throwback game. Be in the orange at Raymond James Stadium. More on that in a little bit. First things first, we say hello and good evening to the head coach. A tough ball game last night on the road in Baltimore, but it's good to have you here tonight, and I know we're looking forward to breaking it down with you and talking to some of the fans a little bit later on the show. Good to see you, sir.
Always good to be here. You know, this is, like I say, you know, you need it this week, you know, couch time. You know, not many times this year do I need it, but I need to talk on the radio to you guys and get over this one and let it go and get ready for Atlanta, man. Got a fired up group coming here from Atlanta, so we should have a lot of fun.
All right, this was a battle. There's no doubt about that. We knew that this team was not only one of the best teams in the AFC, but one of the best teams in the NFL. And quite an atmosphere, you know, holiday weekend, sold out stadium. They've been a good team for several years now, jam packed, loud crowd. I mean, you know, it's not the playoffs, but in terms of the regular season, this was quite a test to go on the road and to be in that kind of environment just as an overall thing as the game began.
You know, the best thing about going out there is just, it really does give you a playoff type of feel. We haven't had many primetime games. That was a primetime feel like a game. It prepares you for the situation that may happen for you if you're fortunate enough to go out here and continue your quest, get better and better and make it to the playoffs. You can remember that game and you kind of think back to, you know, how that atmosphere was, you know. There's no doubt about it. The Ravens definitely kicked our butts in the pregame intros. They have the best in the league with Ray Lewis coming out the tunnel last. It's exciting. It's fun to watch, you know, as an opponent, as a player, as a fan. That's always great stuff to be a part of. So putting your players in that type of attitude and that type of atmosphere really gets those guys ready to play in that big show which you want to be on one day.
You joked with us prior to the game that back in the day you would sport a Ray Lewis Ravens shirt back before your coaching days even, because he's been around for that long. Some of your players talked about growing up and watching Ray Lewis and rooting for Ray Lewis. And I asked you, and I would love to have the answer again here, you have to kind of take a step back. You got to, you know, distance yourself from that and go, okay, wait a minute. Maybe at one time I rooted for Ray Lewis, but that's now the enemy. Even though there he is coming out of the tunnel and doing his thing to whoop the Ravens into it, you now got to lock in, focus, and realize he's on the other side of the ball. We're going against that guy, right?
You know, it's easy for us. You know, we all grew up, you know, having favorite players in the league. Some of those guys are still playing. You know, Ray Lewis happened to be one of them. He's been a great player in this league for a long time, but, you know, we couldn't wait to get at him. And our guys came out ready to play. They came out prepared. We didn't have our best game all around, but they certainly played hard, played fast, played smart, and played physical. And we just didn't finish. We weren't able to finish the game with the consistency that we needed to go in out there and win.
Well, this was a game that was a battle of field position, especially in the first quarter. You got the ball first. You got a couple of first downs. It looked as though one of the ways that you were able to succeed were some throws, some short throws early on in the game. Was that part of the game plan and the attack to at least begin the game with some short throws and try to establish something on the opening drive that way?
Well, we wanted to come out, wanted to establish rhythm. You know, that's always kind of our key theme is rhythm, whatever that is, whether it's running the football, short throws, passes, completions, moving the ball down the field, changing field position, doing all those different things. And when we came out, we had a bunch of success. We ran and had a successful run for 3 yards, threw a nice pass to Purvis, you know, got a couple more yards there, and we were able to move the ball down the field and be consistent about it, pick up a third down or two, and we get stopped. You know, but you feel good because you put yourself in position to change field position with a nice punt. And we were able to do that. So you felt pretty good coming off of that first drive and knowing that these guys can get going, you know. But, you know, again, you're playing a great defense like the Ravens. They're going to turn to heat. They're going to do some different things, and they're going to win some physical battles. You know, but I was very pleased with what the offense was ready to do on that first drive.
All right, and then, you know, kind of an exchange of punts and the field position that you just mentioned. One thing that hurt, and this has been a rarity, were some penalties on special teams that backed you up a couple of times in terms of field position. You're starting at your 8, you're starting at your 4 after a couple of penalties in the first quarter. So, I mean, it was just kind of you were behind the 8 ball, to use that cliche that you hear all the time, in field position, at least in the first quarter.
You know, like I was telling you, stats are for losers, and we lost yesterday, so I can go back and refer to my stat sheet. But, you know, yesterday we had 9 penalties for 78 yards, you know, something that's been uncharacteristic for us. You know, being a young football team that we are, we're really not penalized as much as you may think or assume. And yesterday we had them on special teams. We had five there in that area, and that hurt us a little bit on field position, and we were able to start. And whenever you get that type, those kind of penalties versus that quality of a football, quality of opponent, it's going to hurt you at some point. Whether it gets you at that point or later, it comes back to bite you a little bit, and it took us out of the, took us out of our rhythm and what we want to do.
All right, so they are able to get field position on you, and as the second quarter begins, you actually stop them on a third down. A sack by Gerald McCoy stops them on third down right at the beginning of the second quarter, and they end up kicking a field goal. Let's stop right here and talk about the game that Gerald McCoy played, because he had a couple of sacks. He had a couple of, he stopped Flacco on a third down quarterback sneak, was one of the guys under the pile stopping that. He and Roy Miller were there. So, well, I mean, talk about number 93, the rookie.
You know, these guys really played well yesterday on defense, period, you know, and Gerald McCoy was one of the key factors in that. You know, we've been talking about him getting better and better throughout the week, causing disruption, and he was able to get in there and get a big time, two big time sacks. He was also able to get in there and help on a quarterback sneak, you know, company with Barrett Rudin, they're really throwing his body around, and Roy Miller, you know, I don't know, I got to go back and look at everything, but arguably played his best game as a Buck yesterday, and those guys played hard, they played physical, they played tough. We made, you know, one big mistake that we'll talk about here to end the second quarter, you know, but for the first half, with the field position that the Ravens had to come out with three at that point, we were playing pretty good defense and we were rolling pretty good.
And as that will be exemplified here, you had to give the ball up after the field goal, but your defense ends up making a play. And what a play it was with Aqib Talib on an interception. And fans have now seen the highlight on Sunday night, on Monday and on the internet, where he goes to the ground, Coach, and instinctively is trying to find the ball and literally traps it between his legs, about ankle high between his legs, and then has the presence to get up off the ground and go get 20, 30 yards, whatever it was, in field position. A tremendous turnover there, a tremendous interception there. Tell me more of what you saw.
Yeah, I was talking about how this young man has been playing this year. You know, we talked about him playing harder than he's ever played before in his career. He's always been a dynamic athlete. He's always been a guy that I've seen do stuff on the football field that I'm absolutely amazed by, like that interception. You know, but when he broke on that ball and he got the interception for his team, he picked it off with his legs and his knees, and he was able to pop back off of the ground and continue to run. And this is where you see his team, his whole football team, turn and run and get blocks from him, go down the sideline, and even sacrifice one of his own men, Cody Grimm, in that play, blocking for him. Got rolled up on by one of the Ravens defender, Ravens offensive players, and he'll miss the rest of the season. But he wouldn't turn it down for 1 second, you know, if we had a chance to get in the end zone on defense and to win that football game for his fans and his team and his and everybody that's around.
On the Grimm play, it's just one of those freak things where, again, he's downfield legally blocking somebody. The play is basically over, but I believe it's Anquan Boldin. It was one of the receivers or whoever was tackling Aqib, and they roll momentum-wise just right into where Cody Grimm is standing, unfortunately.
Yeah, it was nothing malicious about it. It was, you know, he jumped on Akib's back, and when he's rolling down with Aqib, he lands on Cody's and he breaks his fibula. And, you know, he was down on the ground for a bit. You know, that type of stuff hits your sideline, especially when you got a closely knit group like our group. You know, nobody really knew at the time until you come off the field and you see him still out there laying there, and you're not really sure because you're excited about the interception, you're excited about the momentum change, you're excited about the chance to get free the ball with some great field position and go out there and score. And then that happens, and it deflates you a little bit.
Yeah, it was obviously an unfortunate part of that game and an unfortunate part of the season for a young man that had really been playing well and had mom and sister and family there in the stands, but he gets carted off, and I know you announced earlier today he's going to have to go on injured reserve because of the injury. More on that on what it does moving forward later on in the show. All right, so you get the ball back after that interception, and you're at their 36-yard line. You take some shots. You hit a ball down the middle to Kellen Winslow. You get down inside the red zone, have a couple of cracks inside the 5-yard line, but unfortunately you're not able to get in and you have to settle for 3 points there.
Great scramble, great throw by Josh to get it to Kellen across the middle of the field. Great scramble to get us to about the 5, somewhere in that area, 4-yard line. A couple good cracks at it to Kellen Winslow at the in the back of the end zone. A good run by Blunt, but they hold tight. You know, Ed Reed made two dynamic plays on Kellen Winslow. One, he got his hands on it, he tipped it.
Yes.
You know, another one, he flew in from covering another guy and was able to get his hands on it and tip it right away from Kellen at the very end. You know, but, you know, two really good plays by good defenders. Those guys are a good football team, and we're going to get the points when we can. So we opt to take the 3 points where we can get them.
Yeah, Kellen later in the game would get a touchdown on a very similar play to the one late there in the second quarter that we're talking about in the back of the end zone. On that one, though, Ed Reed just got a finger on the ball and changed the trajectory of the ball and knocked it kind of out of his reach.
Got it right out of Kellen's reach. It went out the back of the end zone, and, you know, Kellen's got great effort when it comes to going at the footballs in the air, and He put one of his better performances on trying to get that ball, just not able to get it.
All right, 3-3 game, and this is what you alluded to. They hit you with a big play, the long one to Todd Heap. Again, fans have seen that play. You've had time to analyze it, talk with your players about it. What happened on the play with Heap getting free down the middle of the field?
Yeah, we all knew right away. You know, we changed safety positions, and we call a defense that we've been running the whole game, and we go out there, and we get a miscommunication from safety to corner, and it was a bust on the play. Anytime you have a bust and it's by your players, you know, it doesn't matter if it's a backup, it doesn't matter if this guy just came in, it doesn't matter, you know, what the case is on, you always got to put it on myself. And, you know, I'll take that, you know, with everything for my football team, and it doesn't matter. You know, we ran the coverage the whole game, it had been effective. And in that time, in that instance, we weren't able to communicate and to get across to each other and get that thing communicated. We have a busted coverage, we get a tight end running free down our zone. And, you know, I think people wanted to blame Barrett, but he really had nothing to do with it. He just was hustling and chasing it. And Rondé as well, and you know, we just got to go out and keep playing. And those things happen in games, and you just can't allow them to happen in big games like that, because that was really one of the plays that was able to, you know, get these guys over top.
Yeah, they're up 10-3. You have to punt, and then comes some controversy at the end of the first half where they get into scoring range on a pass interference call. It's a third down play down the far sideline away from the Buccaneer bench where Hushman Zada is battling with your rookie, Myron Lewis, and they end up calling pass interference. Again, you've had time to now look at the tape and see what goes on. It's a judgment call by the officials. I know you were talking about that earlier today at your news conference, but it sets the Ravens up at the 10-yard line.
It's one of those plays where you call a third down and three, and you want to hold those guys to a field goal right there going to halftime. Maybe you're down 13-3 at that point, you know, coming back out the tunnel with a lot of momentum with a bunch of guys that's very confident. But, you know, they didn't bounce our way that day. You know, the ball went in the air. It's a judgment call and a pass interference. You know, at the time we all disagreed, and, you know, it don't matter if we disagree now, it really doesn't matter. They called it that way. You know, I thought the young man used, you know, proper technique. The young man did a look and lean through a shoulder width in between. He kept his arm bar low. He was able to track the football. You know, the receiver made a great effort for the football, and there was a call made in the field, and it is what it is. And that's how you got to deal with it in this league, and they made it. I needed an explanation from the officials. I got my explanation. They told me what they thought, and we moved on. And we had to try to stop from there, but, you know, Flacco made an amazing throw in the next play. Through a zone, and it was a dime thrown by a really good player.
Yeah, he threw the touchdown pass, and I know at the end of the first half we were coming over trying to talk to you. You were trying to get that explanation because the official that made the call was all the way on the other side of the field. And, you know, again, elaborate, because you said it to us after the game. You said earlier today you wanted that explanation for what reasons?
Yeah, going into halftime, you know, and you got to make adjustments. And how should I play the ball down the field? How should I track balls? And what do you want me to do if the young man did everything that you're teaching? How do you change it at halftime? How can you tell him something different? How do you give him more information so he doesn't get the call on him next time? That situation is going to come up in the game again. It was going to be a critical stance. It's going to be a critical moment. And I want to give all my guys their information that they can have in order to best serve them as best they will. You know, I don't want a guy coming inside not knowing how to play a ball, not having an understanding of how the game was being called that day, and letting the same mistake happen to him again. The young man had played well all day. He'd been a part of our packages. We had a couple look-at-lane situations earlier. We had a bunch of different deals on pass defense, and they played a bunch of balls. And, you know, you don't want that to be an excuse or let that be something that continues to come up because somebody sees something differently than you might.
Right.
So I had to get an explanation for him.
Yeah. Frustrating end of the first half at 17-3. We'll come back. We'll talk about the second half. We will take your phone calls. We look forward to that. We'll also talk Atlanta Falcons and the rematch with them, the throwback game that is coming up on Sunday. It is now a 4 o'clock game at Raymond James Stadium. We look forward to talking about that later on in the program with the head coach of the Buccaneers, Raheem Morris. Stay with us on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Raheem Morris Show continues on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE at US 1035. Once again, here are Coach Morris and DJ Reeves.
Back in on a Monday night, we will be taking your phone calls. 990 in Hillsboro, 4620. Pinellas, 461-4620. Anywhere that you can hear the show outside of the Tampa Bay area, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. Your phone calls coming up. We've been on the road a bunch for the last 5 weeks. We are going on the road with the Coach Raheem Morris Show. You can join us next week at Raymond James Stadium. Listen up now, Lower West Club level for the Holiday Team Store. as this program and the Total Access shows will be broadcasting live from 6 to 7 p.m. Your chance to see the coach and to see selected players, including Gerald McCoy and Josh Freeman, live there at the team store. The holiday team store open from 3 until 8 p.m. All kinds of Buccaneer merchandise for your holiday gift giving. That is next week, Raymond James Stadium, beginning at 5 Eastern time and all the way through the 7 Eastern time hour with live shows. And again, the holiday store will be open until 8 p.m. starting next week. So we're on the road next week at the stadium with the fans, and we look forward to that here on next Monday night. All right, so we left off with a 17-3 Baltimore lead, and I always am interested in your feelings and your thoughts coming out of the locker room, what you told your team. We talked to you at halftime coming out of that locker room, and you said, hey, we just got to keep playing consistent, got to keep playing hard, put the first half behind you, and go get them, essentially.
Yeah, that was the base of the message. You know, the half ended, you know, not like you want to end it with momentum, you know, riding in your favor. You know, they got the ball back. So your message to your football team is, hey, you know, everybody remain unwavered. You know, let the officiating, you know, let what the Ravens are trying to do all be gray matter. We got to go out and execute what we can do and execute how we play. And we went out and told them, let's go out there and play fast, hard, smart, and consistent. And let's go continue that right from the first snap here. And defense, your job is to go out and get the ball back. We need a three and out. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, three and out occurs. You do get the ball back. And much the same way as the first quarter of the game, this kind of became field position. You stop them, they stop you. Punts back and forth, and it kind of held at 17-3 there for the first two or three possessions of the second half.
Yes, you know, we come out and, again, you know, we're going out and playing defense, and we're playing really well. We're playing extremely well. You know, we got guys running around hitting. We got guys running around making tackles. We get a big third and one stop, the one we talked about earlier from Barrett Rood and Gerald McCoy and some of those guys. But, you know, we can't get it going on offense. You know, we're a little bit off. You know, our quarterback was a little less accurate than he had been in the past. He was a little bit off with his reads, and he was just a hair away from making a big play a lot of times. We had a couple times we had some shots out there where our receivers had a chance to make big plays. That's really got us going around here in the last couple of weeks. That's the exciting part about Tampa Bay Buccaneers, seeing Mike Williams catch that big bomb, or really has been, or Spurlock, wherever it's been, you know, over the past couple of weeks. But we were not able to get those big explosive plays that we come accustomed to, so we really couldn't get anything going on offense. But we had to remain with our fight and stay into it.
Well, you did stay in there with the fight. They had a screen pass to Ray Rice that went for a touchdown. That gets called back because of a penalty. It backed them up. They end up punting. You have the ball. You're kind of backed in your own end at that stage. It's still a 17-3 game. And then there's a controversial moment where they initially, on a Freeman scramble, he's trying to flip the ball to Cadillac Williams. One of their linemen, Corey Redding, comes up with the ball initially, but then doesn't hang on to it. They initially give the ball to Baltimore, and they're about to have a first and goal situation, and you challenged successfully on that play to be able to punt the ball right after that. That was, you know, obviously a key sequence there where you wanted to get the red flag out and go to the instant replay.
You know, we had a pretty good look at it on the field. We thought it was going to be a bobble and an incompletion, but the guys in the box, you know, all our coaches, you know, our management team, those guys upstairs, they're able to look at some of those things in the replays and be able to talk to us as well. So we were pretty confident about getting the ball and being able to punt it back to those guys. It was a matter about where the spot was and, you know, not giving them the ball back. You know, the one smart thing that our quarterback did yesterday is he didn't play his best game as a Buck, and none of our guys did. But the thing we didn't have was disastrous turnovers. You know, if you can turn bad games into almost wins, you're doing the right thing. You know, we didn't have the disastrous turnovers that cause issues and get the ball all out of whack and get the game all out of whack. That didn't happen yesterday, and those are the things you got to be proud of him. He remained smart throughout the process.
And it stays a 17-3 game. You punt, they punt again. You're kind of going back and forth. You finally get the ball with about 7.5 minutes to go. You go to the hurry-up offense, and you start to make things happen. You get a couple of completions over the middle again, just like early in the game. You get a couple of third-down conversions on quarterback sneaks. You actually took a shot down the field to Michael Spurlock that you were making mention of that he almost comes up with, unable to do so there with about 6 minutes to go. Again, you can play the what-if game and drive yourself crazy on that, but he definitely makes a great play to get open. The ball is in the vicinity. He just could not come up with it on that catch, Coach.
You know, you just go through the process, and we did go to the hurry-up offense. It's got things going and got things moving for us, and whereas, you know, becoming, you know, really Josh's strength, you know, and it's all about, you know, avoiding, you know, when is it too early to go away from your running game? When is it too fat? When is it too soon to get away from your running game? And you know, it's a fine line of when you do those things. And that's what we're kind of walking right now. And, you know, with LeGarrette Blount and Cadillac both back there running the ball as well as they are right now, You want to remain consistent and stay with those guys for as long as you can to keep you in that game. But then there's a certain point you got to turn it over and get things going and try to generate some big plays. And that's what we went to. And we missed some of those opportunities like I talked about before. But, you know, we'll have more opportunities. And this young team, you know, they're really developing their core beliefs and they're really developing this never die type of attitude. And I love it, man. And I'm with them.
And I would say, you know, standing down there on the sideline in that atmosphere, we had seen this over and over again from your team facing adversity in the fourth quarter, where if you can get in the end zone there with timeouts left and a 2-minute warning left, it is still game on. And that's exactly what your team did on the first and goal play to Kellen Winslow in the back of the end zone. You score with 3 minutes remaining, 2 timeouts, a 2-minute warning. It is game on.
You know, you make that big catch by Kellen Woods, and then it's decision-making time. You know, you're sitting over there, you're talking with your special teams coach. You go for an onside kick, try to get the ball right back to Josh.
How long did you think about that?
I was thinking about doing the whole process of the drive. You know, while we're driving down, you're thinking, how much time do I have? How many timeouts do I have? We've been playing well on defense. Can I get another three and out? Can we stop them? Can we, you know, do all these things? And it's the decision, you know, after we did score with 3 minutes left, with 2 timeouts left, you say, hey, you know, let's kick the ball down there, get another three and out, and get the ball back. Unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. They were able to move the ball a little bit, run the ball on us a little bit, and it just kind of put a flat tire on what was a great day, what could have been a great day on defense if you get that stop, go down and score, and you really walk out of that thing feeling great on D, and you're feeling lucky on offense, and you're feeling fortunate on special teams that you avoided the disastrous penalties. But that's our brand of winning. You know, we always talk about it. One of our phases is going to pull us to a win, and yesterday we were not able to do that. So that's how our team feels.
So the game ends up, as you mentioned, they get the ball after the kickoff. They get a couple of first downs. They're able to run the clock out. What do you take away from this one? What did you say to the team not only yesterday, but what did you say to them earlier today as you put this one to bed?
You know, you told them all the mistakes we made. We talked about all those lessons that we can learn from that game. You know, playing in that environment, playing in that type of that scenery. You know, we talked about the next time we get that opportunity, we want to come out of that game saying we made the same mistakes. We weren't as accurate. We didn't make the plays we on the field we wanted to make. We don't want to come out of that game on defense saying we had the one bust, the two busts that kind of hurt us. You don't want to come out of that game on a special team saying, hey, we have 5 penalties. You want to come from those games, and you want to get better and better at each opportunity. And we got another one coming right into our building this week, and it is great. You know, now we'll get a chance to play, you know, the leader of the NFC, you know, the best team in the NFC right now, and they're really hot. They're coming into our building. They're going to be riding high in emotional confidence, and we can't wait to go play them because that's who we are. You know, we want to play the best. We want to be the best, and I'm feeling that we can be.
Let's update the fans here. You announced earlier today at your news conference that you have lost not only Cody Graham, who we talked about earlier, but Davin Joseph as well with an injured foot for the remainder of the season. Just take us through the thought process there on Davin Joseph with the foot injury, because you had to go to Jeremy Zutaw yesterday to play right guard in the pinch, and now it turns out that Davin is going to be lost for the year.
You know, it's kind of a recurring thing for us. You know, we get somebody hurt, we put somebody else in, and they play well. Davin, we lost the fourth play of the game. To a foot injury, to a broken foot, I believe, and Zutaw went back out there and had to assume role at guard. We've seen Zutaw play center for us. We've seen Zutaw have a full-time year at guard for us, and we're extremely confident when we put Zutaw out there, and we got to go out there and perform well. We lost Cody Grimm in the 24th play of the game, and we had to go out there and use Sabby. Sabby had to go out there and play for us, and we had to go out there and play well with it, no matter what was going on and no matter how well Cody had been playing the last couple of weeks for us. You got to go out there and win the game. You can't let that be a deterrent for what you're trying to do. And I don't believe my team did. I believe those guys fought. I believe those guys stayed within the fight. And I believe those guys kept fighting the whole time to keep us in hopes of winning that football game, and proud of them.
Hey, back to Zutaw for a second. I mean, you got to give this guy a lot of credit, because he's a guy that has played left guard for this team, was battling at the beginning of the year to be the starting left guard. It was then asked, okay, go snap, go be the center, which is essentially the quarterback of the offensive line, change your role there. And people might think, well, okay, it's pretty easy just to go play right guard if you've been playing left guard. Well, everything's in reverse. Your steps are in reverse. You're going to pull a different way on different plays because you're playing right, not left. I mean, let's say something about the versatility of the young man out of Rutgers to just be able to step over there and play 3 quarters worth at right guard yesterday on short notice.
You know, he's extremely smart, you know, Zutaw, and he's able to do a bunch of different things for us. And you know, his value on his football team continues to grow every single weekend. You know, he lost his position to early in the season. You know, when we went out, we decided not to go with him, and he remained unwavered. He came to work every day, and he kept working harder and harder and harder. We lost Jeff Fain for a portion of the season. He went and played center for us. And now he's going back to guard, and he's stepping in, And we really got to get a chance to see him go and get a chance to see him do what he does best. And that situation that we've been in the whole year.
Hey, say something, too, about the safety position, because now you mentioned Savvy Piscitelli. You got Corey Lynch. Take me through the thought process as you come down the home stretch here on what you're going to have to do.
You know, we lost really, you know, one of our most productive players in Cody Grimm this week. And what he was doing, you know, in his time during the game and how he's been growing up and developing throughout the whole process. You know, really stepping in there for Tanard Jackson early in the season. When a lot of people had a lot of doubt in what he was able to do, he was ready to step up and really become a force in his defense. And now we're going to lose him. And now somebody has to step up and do the same thing. Somebody has to go out there and perform as well as this young man did and take it as serious as this young man did. And we got to go out there and see. So this week in practice, we'll have a nice little battle, you know, amongst our guys on the team. And we'll also be able to bring some other guys up this week, you know, with the unfortunate of having the time to place Cody Grimm on IR.
Is it your thought process that you will share some reps with the first team just because you're wanting to look at different guys and you got to get guys experience in the event that something might happen again?
You got to get guys out there and you got to get guys in practice to go out and compete. And I don't think there's any better way than to let those guys go out there and compete in practice and do it in practice and do it in a live setting and go out there and do it that way and make your decision at the end of the week and let these guys know they had a chance and let these guys know that they got to be ready to go in a game. And there's no better example than what happened this week with Cody. You know, Cody was the clear-cut starter for, you know, since he's taken over, since the Pittsburgh game, and he's been out there getting better and better every week. And once he went down, somebody had to go out there and be ready to deal.
Well, that is the fact of life in the NFL with injuries and the next man up, as you like to talk about it, and it's a phrase that's used all around the league. You're looking now for the next guy to go and give you help. All right, so the Buccaneers now get ready to go play the Atlanta Falcons. More on that coming up. Your turn up next here with the head coach. We will take your phone calls, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsborough County, 461-4620 if you're in Pinellas, toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS if you're outside of the immediate area. If you're anxious to talk with the coach, dial us up. We got more with the head coach in a moment here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
The Ryan Morris Show rolls on. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
We are back with the head coach, Raheem Morris, on this Monday night. Again, a reminder that we will be at Raymond James Stadium next week, the Lower West Club level, at the Holiday Team Store, not only for the head coach's show, but the Total Access show will be broadcasting live there throughout the week from 6 until 7 p.m. It'll be your chance to see the head coach live, to see selected players live. Also, Gerald McCoy and Josh Freeman will be there on their usual nights, Tuesday and Thursday of next week at the Holiday Team Store, which will be open between 3 and 8 p.m., all kinds of Buccaneer merchandise for your holiday gift giving. So that is next week, starting Monday with the Coach Raheem Morris Show, Stadium West Lower Club at Raymond James Stadium here in Tampa, and we look forward to seeing you at the Holiday Team Store. And we're ready to take your phone calls. Again, 990-4620 in Hillsboro, 461-4620 in Pinellas, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 outside of the area. Again, an overall thought before we go to the phones on the Baltimore game for those that are just tuning in, as I like to do, that haven't heard the entire first half of the show. Just an overall thought coming away there in Baltimore, unfortunately, with a 17-10 loss.
Yeah, you know, tough fort game. You know, proud of your football team and the fact that they played, you know, fast, they played hard, you know, they played smart. We just couldn't play consistently enough to win a football game. So we got to take lessons from that, and we got to grow from it, and we will. A nice playoff atmosphere, you know, our first real 4:15, so to speak, primetime game that we can have an experience with the young guys and get them out there and get a feel for that. Because if we want to go into the playoffs, we want to do some of these things, you know, that's the time you play the game. And we got to get practice. You know, unfortunately, we would have a whole bunch of scheduled 4:15 games or night games and things of that nature, which
right.
we want to be on. And those things have come. But we keep winning and we keep doing what we're supposed to do right now. We will.
It's the name of the game to keep making yourself relevant on that. All right, let's go to the phones. We begin tonight with Scott in Newport Richey. You're on with the head coach. Hello, Scott.
Hello. Good afternoon, Coach.
Hey, Scott.
The question I have is about your hurry-up offense. It runs so good, and you have such great success with it. I was wondering why you don't run it earlier or even more often.
You know, Scott, that's a great question. You know, we talk about it all the time, and it's more or less about, you know, how soon do you unleash Free? How soon do you unleash him to doing some of his own play calls? You know, how soon do you unleash the hurry-up offense to try to dictate tempo? You know, but at the same time, you can take away some of the things from your run game that you've been getting from Blunt and Cadillac. you know, in your two-back offense. You could take away from some of the tempo things that you get from Kellen Winslow when things are rolling the same way. So you got to make, you know, a conscious decision right there. And yesterday we chose to go with the two-minute offense or the hurry-up offense at about the 7:43 mark. You know, we're down by double-digit points there, and we need to get back into the game. And we had a nice drive, and we would have got the ball back with, say, three or so minutes left and maybe potentially go on another two-minute drive there and potentially get free another fourth-quarter win. I just probably pulled the trigger a little bit too late. I don't know that for sure, but maybe. You know, maybe next time I go a little bit earlier, or maybe next time we can open up a game with it at some point. I think you got to incorporate those things in your game plan at some point all the time.
I was going to say, the Ravens used some no huddle in the first half. Use some hurry up, if you will. Get up to the line of scrimmage and run a play. They did that on two or three series in the first half of the game themselves.
They were trying to catch us off balance, but I think it kind of backfired for them a little bit. You know, we were able to get an interception. We were able to do some things to confuse Flacco and really get ourselves going. You know, our guys do a great job disguising coverages. You know, our guys do a great job of mixing up things and getting at them. But it helped us. It helped Gerald McCoy get off to get two sacks. It helped us to get an interception with Aqib Talib and a couple great knockdown passes by Ronde Barber. But those things all weigh in,
yep.
And you got to make decisions when you want to do it.
Scott, anything else?
No, that's it. Okay. Thank you very much.
No problem, Scott. Calvin in Treasure Island is next with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, Calvin.
Hey, Raheem. How are you doing, fellas?
I could be doing better, but I appreciate you asking and your concern.
Yeah, I heard, you know, all the missed opportunities. I watched the first half and the second half. Is there a time, you know, you're making adjustments during the game. Is there a point where, you know, you give Freeman the freedom, you know, to get out there? I noticed, you know, when he gets, you know, in a position where, I don't know, is there a point in the game where you just say, hey, you know, we're making adjustments, you know, you're giving him the freedom that he needs to, you know, as far as play calls and, you know, the way the game runs, I'm not the expert, but is there a point where you say, all right, go get them and just let them loose?
I'm not sure what you're asking. I know Freeman has – I think you're asking, does he have the ability to change calls or –
I think what he's talking about in the old days, John Elway, Dan Marino, they would start just calling their own stuff, especially if the team was behind, they'd start calling their own plays. In the modern NFL, a lot of it is scripted. You're sending plays in, so – I think he's, you know, I won't speak for him, but I think he's talking about, you know, do you ever have an inkling, hey, let him go for it here with the script, not necessarily in the hurry up, but call a few plays.
You know,
how does that work?
Well, with modern football, with the way it is right now, with the headset to walkie-talkie, where the quarterback hears the coordinator on the phone at all times, he's able to get something from him. You know, he doesn't have to get everything from him. You know, Free does have the ability to change plays. Free does have the ability to call certain plays. We go up to the line of scrimmage. He can call his own number. He can call his own plays. He can set up everything he needs to set up. He does all those things that all the quarterbacks and, you know, so to speak, today's football do. And, you know, in five, we trust.
Elaborate, though, because a lot of the time you've given him two plays in the huddle, and this goes back to the John Gruden philosophy where you want him to look at the defense and then he's got his choice about first or second play call depending on what he sees. He does have that freedom.
You know, a lot of times in a two-minute offense, he's able to give him a formation. Free can survey a look, and he's able to signal what he needs on either side from either receiver and able to move the ball that way to, you know, in order to get the maximum amount of success. You know, and we do that a lot, just like you're talking about. That's something that's built into our system.
And obviously the more confidence you have in him, the more you put that stuff in to let him have control to a certain extent over, okay, what do you see, and do you want to change the play or go with the play that was called? So that's just some fascinating insight there on that. Brad is in Tampa. He's next on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Hey, Brad.
Hey, Coach. Congratulations on playing meaningful football games here in November and into December. Hopefully we can fill that place up for you this weekend.
That'd be great.
Had a question for you regarding the challenge process when reviewing plays. I'm not sure if you've seen any of the Atlanta game, Green Bay from this weekend. Pivotal third or fourth down play, Ryan to Gonzalez. It was incomplete, but it was called complete for a first down. And I felt like had somebody in the booth just been watching Fox, they would have noticed that and challenged the play. I wanted to know if there was somebody whose responsibility or what information or what camera angles they have available to them when challenging and what the process is like for the Bucs. And congratulations again and good luck this weekend.
Hey, Brad, Atlanta was home this week, right, I believe, right?
That's correct.
Yeah, I've seen a couple of those plays on Fox, too, that I wanted to call a couple people later myself. But, You know, you don't get those same views that you get sitting home at the telephone, at the television network. Well, we get what the stadium shows, and for the most part, you get what's able to come up on your box and what you see inside that box from your coaches upstairs, your management team upstairs, and all those things. So that's how all the replays work. I did see those passes to Gonzalez. You know, a couple of them were questionable, whether they should be challenged or not, and you know, maybe I could have turned that game in a different direction. But you got to go with what the stadium's giving you. That's why the NFL, you know, disallows, you know, certain things like cell phones, and it's a bunch of things they take out. You know, you can't get an email,
right,
or a two-way page from a friend sitting home on a couch to in order to help you. I wish I could, Brett. I would definitely give you my.
Hey, and this is an interesting point too, because sometimes you're at the mercy of the TV network that's doing the game, the
stadium, so to speak.
Well, but the TV network may be showing a crowd reaction, or they might be showing a player reaction, and the other team is running up to the line of scrimmage, and they haven't started to show the replay yet. And it is completely beyond your control or the opposing team's control as to when they start showing that replay as to do you have a good look. I mean, a perfect example is early on in the first half, the Hushmanzada catch in front of their bench may or may not have been a questionable call. But if you watch the TV, they didn't start showing the replay till the Ravens are virtually at the line, and they didn't even show the replay. They didn't even get done showing the replay because they flashed to the live action, so you didn't even get a look.
That's called smart home cooking.
You know,
they're not going to show you a replay until those guys get up at the line of scrimmage and snap that ball, so you can't challenge it, you know. And it's, you know, stuff you do when you're on the road, and sometimes stuff you do when you're at home. You know, like you said, you're at the mercy of the TV network. You're at the mercy of what they're showing in your replay. You know, and when it's on that far sideline, when it's a very questionable call, you don't want to waste timeouts. You got to make really clutch and tough decisions. But you know, that's what they pay us the big bucks, Brad, and it's still a challenge, though.
Okay. Thanks very much for the call, Brad. Andy is in Odessa here with head coach Raheem Morris on a Monday night. Hello.
Hello. How's it going?
Good.
Could be going better, Andy, but we're doing good. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. It should be going for you. I first wanted to make a comment. Raheem, you're doing a fantastic job this year. I just wanted to lay it out for you. I want to tell you that I really appreciate your attitude, your approach to the players and to the game. It's very unique as far as the things that I've experienced in watching pro football. And I think that it's very effective as well. And I think that you are already starting to reap some of the benefits of that attitude. And I kind of felt like they threw you to the wolves last year, and I was a little bit worried about how the players were going to respond this year. But, you know, after listening to you, and seeing your reactions, you know, I have a real good feeling about the direction that you got the team going in. And I really feel like the guys, they back you. Like, you're not afraid to go out on the line for them. And I think that, you know, you're already in just the second year starting to reap the benefits of that. And I just want to tell you that I really appreciate it. And keep up the good work. I did have a couple questions I wanted to throw at you on my way out. Lynch, is he ever going to enter into the equation in the secondary carousel that we seem to have? And then also, do you think you're going to be surfing the waiver wire? Do you think you're going to try to pick somebody up, or are you pretty happy with who you've already got on the roster?
Well, the thing, I just say thank you, you know, about the early part and staying positive and all those things. But, you know, I think we're fortunate to be learning and growing while winning with a young football team. You know, we are the youngest football team in the league. We're building a lasting contender, and we're still a work in progress. You know, and to my players, I got to say, they make it easy every day. You know, these guys come to work, and they do a great job of really keeping a business-like atmosphere and keeping the light but right. And to Lynch, this is certainly the week, man, where Mr. Lynch has an ability to step up. You know, you got to go out there and give these guys a chance to battle and give these guys a chance to get on the football field, and I look forward to seeing what they're going to do and seeing what they can do positive. And you're right, man. It's a carousel all over the place. You know, guys got to go in, and you got to go out in there and perform. We had that linebacker a couple weeks ago when Quincy missed a couple games, and now we got to go through it again with Mr. Cody. So we'll see.
He was also asking about the waiver wire, and you have constantly been involved in making roster decisions, and now you got a couple of roster situations here with the two players going IR where you've got to evaluate, okay, who do we bring in at what position? That's ongoing as we speak here on a Monday night, right?
Yeah, well, you know a lot about what we've been doing here. You've been keeping up with what we got going on. You see the process that Mark Dominic and his staff does, man. They go through everything, every way the wire. If there's an opportunity to get somebody or grab somebody that we've liked or we know about or we want our football team to make us better, in order to improve our talent and improve what we got going on here, They would certainly look for it and certainly be all over it.
Again, 990-4620 in Pinellas, 461-4620, toll-free wherever you can hear the show, 1-800-596-BUCKS if you want to join us. George is in his car. He is next with the head coach. Hello, George.
Oh, yeah. How you doing, guys? Coach Raheem, big fan. How you doing today?
I'm doing well, George, man. How you doing?
All right. I'm just on the Skyway Bridge, so bear with me. I'm going to try to keep the wheel straight while I talk to you.
Okay.
The reason for the phone call, man, I'm a big fan about how you handle your business, Coach. Ever since the end of the year, you know, all the pundits, ESPNs, what have you, they basically put you on a platter as you're going to be one and done, like you ain't going to have your boys playing, and the Bucks weren't going to be a contender. And here we sit after Thanksgiving, with almost the Bucks being a playoff team, and going on a nationally televised game against the Falcons. Big props to you. That's all I got for you.
Hey, thanks, George, man. I appreciate that, man. We talked about it early on. Right now we're 7-4, and we're very much in the hunt, and we're playing meaningful games late. I got a bunch of hungry young men who don't sit around and listen to all the pundits and all the people that talk bad about them. That's not their issue. You know, their deal is to come in here and play for each other, play fast, hard, smart, consistent, together, and do all those things that we talk about in this building. And that's our job.
Well, and to his point about pundits and predictions, and you know, it's great for discussion, it's great for fodder. But your team has just from the very beginning remained focused on. Play hard, like you said, improve, and we've seen that. And the winning has taken care of itself with being able, especially, to play well in the fourth quarter and play well on the road. And now you have made yourself relevant. You've made everybody sit up and make you part of the conversation here late in the year because of the way you've played.
You know, I think just the team, you know, myself, the coaching staff, the players, we've really embraced the fact that we are entertainers, and people are going to have opinions about entertainers, and that's what they do. That doesn't bother us, doesn't faze us. We want to consider ourselves to be mentally tough. We want to have the ability to remain unwavered at all times, and I got a bunch of guys playing that way. I got a bunch of guys that believe that. I got a bunch of coaches. I got a bunch of management team. I got a bunch of people in the building. Man, it's the whole one Buccaneer place, man. That's kind of the attitude.
Okay, John is in Tampa. He joins us here with head coach Raheem Morris. Hello, John.
Hey, guys, thank you for taking my call. Coach Ruff.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing wonderful, man. I'm doing great. Well, better than you are right now.
No
right
doubt.
Now, but, hey, man, it's a 24-hour period. We can get back to work tomorrow, right?
You're exactly right. You got some coaching in you.
Hey, I just want to tell you, I've been a season ticket holder since 1979. Love the direction that we're headed in. I predict already a 34-13 defeat over the Falcons.
I like
we're just going to take. We're going to take out all the frustration that we've had over this past game, really, on them. I see LeGarrette Blount having a huge game. I mean, a huge game come Sunday. And it's the don't blink attitude, you know. It's what you got going on. Not worried about Joseph. I think Joseph is a big loss for us, but not worried about him. I'm not worried about a Lynch or some guy like that stepping in and taking care of, you know, what we lost with Graham. Not worried about that one bit. I mean, this team's just going to keep on rolling. A couple of things I do want to make a quick note on is I knew from the beginning when Sabby Lyon, Sabby's an easy punching bag for everybody, it seems like, you know, and I'm not trying to throw him under a bus, but when he lined up, it looked like he lined up wrong because he was lined up over the receiver instead of the H-back when he went in motion. So right off when the snap happened, that guy came free with nobody on him. So, I mean, that was just an easy perception for me sitting on a couch. I could only imagine what it must look like for you guys. But and then one other thing. I saw you as the game was winding down and they were taking a knee. Aqib started to come off the field. And you said, hey, come here. I want, you know, like to tell you something. And then he just took off. He never went back on the field again. So I just wanted to see what was up with that. I didn't know if maybe he wanted to beat the referees to the hall before they got there, or what was going on. But regardless of what they say, he had a legitimate gripe because that was the biggest. I know you can't say anything about it, but that was the biggest BS call I've ever seen in my whole entire life. And I've coached football, I've seen football, I've watched every single game. I've never seen a bigger blown call than that, and it really, I'm not going to say it cost us a game, because when we only score 10 points, maybe we don't deserve to win. But it was a big turning point in the game. I'll hang up and let you talk, Coach, but I love you to death, and I think you're doing a wonderful job, man.
I appreciate that, John. You know, with the don't blink attitude, man, what you're talking about, that's exactly it. You know, the only thing You don't want the don't blink to be heartless. You know, the Davin Joseph, Cody Grimm, you know, all the guys that's been a part of this that's not going to be able to do it right now. I certainly feel for them because I know where their heart is and I know what they bleed. You know, it's the next man up mentality. It's the NFL, you know, being resilient, all those things we talked about, you know, is awesome. You know, and I look forward to lynching somebody or somebody coming here competing to be our next safety and go out there and play for us. You know, and Tlaib, when I pulled him off the field, it was the kneel down play. And I got him over next to me and I just told him, you know, hey, go to the locker room, you know, get out of here. He's a passionate player, man. And, you know, he really rallied for his teammate. He had nothing to do with the pass interference call, but he certainly disagreed with it. And he certainly wanted to take his young man, Myron Lewis, back and let him know. But he's playing at a Pro Bowl caliber. He's one of the guys here that certainly plays with, you know, a lot of passion. He plays fired up. He's playing as hard as he ever has right now for us, for his fans, for his family, for his teammates. And really all he cares about is the guys that are in red, you know, the guys that are wearing pewter with him. And when you go in that room, in that defensive back room, they certainly know it. He knows it. His teammates know it. And, you know, he tries to take care of him, man. He's the big brother, so to speak, that, you know, wants to take up for his little brothers, you know. It's funny. He's been put into a role now where he's kind of the older guy in the room, you know. And it's a little weird for him, you know. Now he's protecting Myron Lewis and he's protecting a guy like Cody. And not that Cody needed protection, but he certainly was going to be out there to defend him if he ever did.
John, we appreciate it. We got time here for about 30 more seconds for one more call. That's Armando in Tampa with head coach Raheem Morris. Armando, go ahead, real quick.
Okay, Coach Morris, congratulations on your success this year. I wanted to ask you about film study. How do you guys get film on other teams? Is that something you get from the NFL? I know you don't have people filming other teams all over the place. How do you guys get film?
All right. It's a big theory. I mean, it's a big deal out there that all the film is sent through our video departments. You know, and we get every game from every week that's played. I mean, it's on my office.
This is fascinating because a lot of fans would want to know this. How soon did you have the Atlanta Green Bay game? Did you have it last night, or did it not come in until this morning? If you wanted to look at their game from yesterday, how soon does it come in?
Well, I'm not gonna kid you and act like I came here last night to look for that game. I went home. I got out of here. But I know it was here in the first thing. It was first thing when I came in this morning. I know our video department and our video guys. You know, Dave Levy. And his staff do a great job of getting all that stuff inside the computer. So when we get to work in the morning, we have the game that we just played so we can watch it and grade it and correct it. And we also have the games that we're going to play for the following week. So we have every Atlanta game for the last whatever amount of years.
And by the same token, Atlanta had your game with Baltimore all over the NFL. Everybody with their next opponent had their game this morning is essentially how it works.
That's exactly right. And everybody has everybody's game. So you're able to start film study with your quality control men the week before. They're putting things together for you. They're breaking down games. And then once you get there on Monday, today, all those cut-ups are done. All the stuff's in the computer. All the stuff you want to pass to your players. Now it's about us studying it.
Very good. We appreciate all the phone calls. We will talk more about the Atlanta Falcons. And Throwback Sunday, the Orange will be on this Sunday. Stay with us. That is next with the head coach, Raheem Morris, here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Show on your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Once again, Buccaneers head coach Raheem Morris and your host TJ Reeves.
Final few moments here, and you're in for a treat. Unfortunately, he's gone for the year on IR, but Cody Grimm will be up next on Buccaneers Total Access with Dave Moore, so stand by. They will take your phone calls. You can give him well wishes. Obviously, a tough end to his 2010 season, so... that's coming up right after we're done. One more reminder, we're live next week at Raymond James Stadium on location, Lower West Club level at the Holiday Team Store. This show, the Total Access shows, as well as the Gerald McCoy show and the Josh Freeman show all next week will be at the Holiday Team Store, which will be open from 3 until 8 p.m. All kinds of Buccaneer merchandise for holiday gift giving. That is next week for the Raheem Morris Show live on location at Raymond James Stadium in the West Club level at the Holiday Store. With all of that being said, we get ready for the Atlanta Falcons. We'll get to the X's and O's of that game, but this is going to be a special day for the McKay family as the legendary first-ever coach of the Buccaneers, John McKay, will be honored at halftime of this game and go into the Buccaneers' ring of honor. And the McKay family will be here, Rich, now with the Atlanta Falcons as their team president, will be there on the field for the ceremony. You're going to put the throwback orange on in honor of Coach McKay. Going to be a special day for the atmosphere around the game.
I think it's awesome. You know, Rich McKay, you know, being the first general manager, you know, that was here when I was hired, getting a chance to know him and his family and all the positive things he's done for Tampa Bay Buccaneers as far as, you know, being, you know, his dad, not even talking about his dad yet, talking about just Rich and some of the guys he was able to draft while he was here. And then what his dad did here and all the memories that he had from his father, and we'll be able to give out the famous golf hat that he wore.
Yes.
And do some of those
things.
That's
a neat touch. The fans will get a replica of the John McKay kind of fishing hat, if you will.
And then we'll kind of, you know, we'll throw in the throwback uniforms, and my players love that. They'll have a chance to throw those uniforms on and go out and play in them and be productive. The standards look a little, you know, 70-ish-like, 80-ish-like, and, you know, we'll all have those uniforms on and, you know, kind of harden your eyes
on TV. The orange was good to you last year. Your first career win as a head coach came in the orange against the Packers.
Yeah, that was the first career win, and we talked about the day a little bit. You know, it's kind of where it got started when Josh Freeman went out there and, you know, kind of got us going in the right direction and start winning some games and, you know, really became – the starting of Josh Freeman's, you know, young career and where we want to go and what we want to do. So, you know, we're excited. You know, we'll have the Ring of Honor. We'll have our ownership out there and all the stuff that they've been able to do. It was a great touch by those guys to do it, why his son's able to come in town and be able to accept the award for him with his family, with his friends and everything of that nature. I thought that was, you know, just a class act by our ownership and all those things. So, we're excited about it, and I know I certainly am for the young man.
All that being said, now you got a big football game to play. The team leading the NFC South, the team that does have the best record in the NFC, the Atlanta Falcons rematch game. They win in the final seconds again at home for the third straight time at home for them. They defeat the Green Bay Packers, and here we go with a huge showdown for your team against a division rival.
Yeah, they got it all going right now. You know, they're the best team in the NFC, and
It's kind of interesting. That's a different script now. You're saying they're the best team in the NFC.
They're 9-2, man. No argument. They're coming in here. We don't like them. They don't like us. They're probably tweeting right now. We can't wait to go see them. It's awesome. You know, Roddy White versus the Key. All the great matchups, premium matchups.
Donald Pym against John Abraham.
It's everything you want in football, man. And when you play the Atlanta Falcons, it's a lot of fun. They, you know, quarterback versus quarterback. Whichever battle, whichever thing you want to build up. Should be fun. I know it'll certainly be fun for myself and Coach Smith. There's always great competition between the two, and always great competition within a division. We're very proud to be in this division, this NFC South, man. It's rolling. It's a tough place to win. It's a tough place to go out and get wins and becoming one of the more respectable conferences in the league.
And real quick, we got about a minute left. There are tickets available. This is home field advantage time. Protect the home field against the Falcons. Say something to the Buck fans. You need them out there and in full throat for this one and ready to go.
You know, we're just trying to put together this exciting brand of football, you know, for our fans and get these guys to come out and whoever can afford it, whoever can get out there, and whoever can do it for in this economy that we're in, we're very much appreciated. You know, we appreciate the guys that's already out there. They're as loud as they could be when they are out there. And we love our fans. We love everything about them. And we want to go out there and try to make our fans proud, our community proud, and just everything that we can to do in order to get this town back to where it deserves to be on top.
Well, it's going to definitely be an interesting, fun, nostalgic day. The orange uniforms will be on. A lot of the crowd will be in the orange. And here we go with the Atlanta Falcons. Listen, good luck. We will talk to you Sunday in the pregame coverage at 3 o'clock. Thank you, Coach, for sitting down with us again here on a Monday night.
Sounds good, man. Look forward to talking to you after this one.
All right, so it's going to be exciting on Sunday. A reminder, that is a 4 o'clock game. Again, you may have schedules, tickets, whatnot, that may say 1 o'clock. It is a 4 p.m. change by the NFL for Throwback Sunday. Buccaneers and the Falcons will be on the air at 3. We'll be back next Monday night, again, live at Raymond James Stadium with the latest edition of the Head Coach Raheem Morris Show. That comes your way next Monday night at 5. My thanks to Jeff Ryan, Jerry Petuck for helping me out. Have a good evening on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You've been listening to the Raheem Morris Show on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.